يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. My khutbah today is not a new khutbah. It's been repeated at least, I would say, 3 times. At least. If it's not, 30 times. So don't be expecting to hear something new today. And maybe it's a different tone. And usually, that some people will leave the khutbah with a bad feeling because how I said it, not what I'm saying. This is something, a story, I've been hearing it for the last 20-25 years before even the mosque start to hear. Alright? Because alhamdulillah I was in Colombia before even the mosque established in Colombia. So it's not a new story. And usually say, brother, is not what you said, the way how you said it. And I said many times, I wish that somebody can come and say it, or at least can teach me how to say it. But believe it or not, doesn't matter. How you say it or what you say in it, this doesn't work, neither this it work. This is reality. It's not what I'm saying or how I'm saying. Because after we break ourselves to mosques and schools and organizations, and you have a new imam and a new faqih, a new sheikh, and say it in the nicest way that he can, you still, the problem is not solved. The problem is not solved. Because it's too much for somebody to stand and challenge his own self or herself or his self and say, The problem is me, that I don't care enough. This is the reality. When we used to have one mask or a mask and a half in Colombia, the problem never solved. We open other mask and other mask and another mask, and every couple of years we have a new mask, but the problem is still there. Because when some people open another mask, they're basically dealing with any issue, or they're related to any culture or a segment of the community. But still, inshallah, this will be the mosque that always talk about Quran and Sunnah and always stand talking about the needs of the community. Not the needs of a certain group of the community. Because Islam doesn't know rich only or poor only, Arab only or black only. Islam came for everybody and to solve the problems of mankind in general. So all of these mosques and organizations, they keep opening again and open new location. They are failure, in my personal opinion, because the problem is still there. And today I'm going to present you with a problem, which all those leaders or self-leaders, whatever you want to call, that became imams and directors of schools and centers and organizations, they heard my khutbah today. And the problem is still there. My issue today about something going in Islam, at-ta'awun, helping one another. There's a verse in the Quran, one single verse, but I don't want you to deal with the verse today. I want you to take one piece of the ayah, one, two words of the ayah, and to try to challenge yourself as a Muslim. Can I do what Allah telling me? Doesn't matter if you do it here or you go to another mosque and do it. We want the problem to be solved. Doesn't matter who going to solve it, how going to be solved it, by whom going to be the solution. But the problem, some people acting as if they don't hear or they are not aware. But I'm going always to be the bad imam that will dare to stand on the member and say the problem still exists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. I'm not going to convey the whole verse. It's only one piece of the verse. Help one another towards righteousness and good deeds. This is it. Are we doing it? Are we doing it? Help one another. Support one another. Be an aid and helper for one another when it comes about righteousness and good deeds. If it comes about Salah, teaching Quran, helping a Muslim, paying the rent, giving them a shelter, save them from drowning, save them from hellfire, whatever it comes about, we as Muslims, okay? Because Islam doesn't know Arab, or black, or Indo-Pakistani. Islam doesn't know this. Islam knows innama al-mu'minun. Indeed, the believers are ikhwa, are brethren. And that the whole ummah, let's assume like Colombia, South Carolina, is like one body. When one member suffers, the whole body has to be suffer. So when any community or organization or a mosque focus about a section of the community, the rich people as example, and say later for the poor one. We are not going to segregate or separate, but we want to create a standard who can be part of our community or who can be part of our school. If you be able to pay $300 or $350 or $400, now your child can be in our school. You in Columbia, South Carolina. Is it a game? You are not segregating the people by name, but you already know Living in Columbia, South Carolina, who is the one can pay $300 for one child? So now you open your school for a section of the community. You are not dealing with the community. You want to take the good student and make him excellent, but you don't want to take the poor child, the bad child, and try to make him good. So those people, in my personal opinion, they're wasting time. I will respect the people who take somebody out of the mosque and try to please him. Patch the clothes. Don't get somebody with a clothes that is in pain and iron and try to tell them, I'm going to take you and go to Walmart or whatever this expensive store and buy you a nice suit. Because our community, it doesn't deal with these types. This is the section of the community. And now the poor will be there, here, and the rich will be there. Or the black will be here, and the Arab will be there. And after this, say, brother, it's a mosque like a mosque. It's a school like a school. Yeah. We operate in a school with 65 children. We have one child or one family only pay tuition. We never said to somebody you could not come because you could not pay $300 or $400 per child. And if we come and say, okay, you don't have to pay $300, but what about you have to work such amount of hours? But if the mother is a widow or divorced with 4 or 5 children, and she has to work to feed them, and you ask her to come and put $8, it's no way. So you already manage your community and your mosque and your school in a way that doesn't fit anybody except somebody like you. You are targeting a section of the community, and you are dividing the community, believe it or not, by your action. Allah say, help one another, assist one another. Put your hands together when there is something righteous deed, something pleasing to Allah. It becomes obligation upon all of us as Muslims that we do it. Now you make your school for somebody else, or you make your office we're only dealing with political problems, or if somebody doesn't have a green card, so why are we dividing ourselves? You don't think all these things can be done under one umbrella? No, this office will be specialized in dealing with political issues. This will be dealing with education issue. And this will be dealing with Indo-Pakistani. And this will be dealing with our background. And this is the reason when we have a problem in the community, nobody able to deal with it. Because we already divided ourselves. Our resources is already gone. You paying rent, he's paying rent, he's paying rent, seven messages in Colombia. How big is Colombia? Everybody being a charity. Everybody trying to make a school. Everybody trying to be an imam. So now we have 5 salary. We have 5 tuitions. We have 5 electric bill. We have 5. As a result of this, when you have a need that exists in the Muslim community, not among the Arab, not among the American. When we talk about Muslims, we're talking about Muslim Ummah. We are not talking about section of the community. Now you are not going to find people have means and ways to help. Why? Because they waste their energy and their resources in open different locations, in open different activities. When the problem exists, you don't have time to do. You don't have resources to do it. This is the problem. This is the problem. Like I said, 10 people come here or 100 people come here, it's not going to make difference to me. This title of imamship, I'm not going to take it with me in the grave. If you call people, come here, and your donation is here. But what about the problem that exists in the community? Brothers, I want to give you, and I hope I'm not going to go beyond the time that allow for khutbah. I want you to look to observe a real picture in our life. How much a loaf of bread costs? A dollar? Let's say a dollar. My wife is the one who goes shopping, so I don't know prices. Let's say a dollar. But this loaf of bread, do you know how many hands get together to make a loaf of bread so you can have it on your ma'idah and eat from it? A loaf of bread. This is a simple example. I will tell you, at least 30 people have to involve for have this loaf of bread ready for you on your, if it's not hundreds. Talk about the farmer who has to put the seed, the grain in the ground. Talk about the engineer who manufacture or design the machine to break the ground. Talking about the doctor or whatever you call him, the nutrition, that you have to make sure that this is the right thing. Talking about the person who mix the drawer and put the water and the flour to make the bread. Talking about the person who put it in the oven. Talking about the person who put it in the bag. Talking about, you can count how many people involved for a loaf of bread. This is reality. Now you think Muslims going to be divided, not together, and they're going to produce something? They think they are producing something. They're producing nothing. The surface looks good, but the inside is rotten. I'll give you examples. But let's talk to the ants. When an ant wants to get something bigger than its size, she could not. But yeah, in a matter of a second, how many hands get together? Nothing but a call, a wave, a signal being sent to the ants. Now, hundreds of ants there, dragging this piece of bread to take it to their hole. Get over there, the water, and some of the ants about to drown. Some of these ants, they have to make themselves as a bridge. As a bridge for the other ants to go over them even if they die. This reality. This insect and this is small things. We the big one, we the one whom Allah honored us with Islam. Allah give us money and give us heart. We could not even be like ants. We could not be like ants. We could not be together. We could not establish unity among ourselves. Everybody wants to be a man, everyone wants to be a mufti, everyone wants to be a sheikh. And after this, nothing established. So look to the ants. Look to the loaf of bread. All these things will teach you the necessity of helping one another. Putting your hands together. Be there together. Not divide yourself and after they say, I send a letter and say to somebody, come and pray it with me, and they refuse. We're playing games. Now your son is stepping out of your house and now talking to your dad. Come here and listen, I want to discuss something with you. What kind of respect is this? Somebody never know how to be a father or to be a husband, and now as soon as he steps out of your house, your son is telling your dad, come here. We want to discuss something. Come here. Who you are, son? What do you know about life? Did you ever been married before? Do you know how to deal with problems? Now you telling me what to do? But some Muslims, they're ready to allow anybody to operate in them. Doesn't matter what is their background. Why do we have to help one another? Why do we have to do this? Number one, because Allah ordered us. So we need to fulfill the order of Allah, to help one another. Put your hands together to establish this mission of Islam. Doesn't matter if it's towards Allah or towards the human being. You have to understand this. Islam is not only salah, what taqwa. There is taqwa, relationship between you and Allah, and there is birr, which is the relationship between you and mankind. We could not have Islam by only establish prayer and having mosques. Okay? Secondly, you as a Muslim, when you're helping each other, you answer in the call of Allah, which Allah said it in the Quran. Help one another. And when you do this, you are getting a reward. You're getting the blessings for answering the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number three, that you need to help one another so you can get the reward. More than this, when you are helping one another and you get together, you multiply your reward. As example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us the prayer of the two is more rewarded than the prayer of the one. And when the jama'ah better, is more reward. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, when you pray with the jama'ah, it's 27 degrees. When you pray for yourself, it's even one reward. So we need to multiply our reward, so we need to be with each other. When you do this, and you get together, you encourage the others to come. The lazy ones, the one who dragging their feet towards the mosque, when you get together and the people see this, this will be encouragement for them. And the most important thing, that there is missions could not be accomplished without being together, without helping one another, without assisting one another. So the necessity of helping one another is a must for us to be able to accomplish our duties, our obligation. I want you in a quick moment give you some of how the Sahaba used to be, how the early generation used to be. And by the way, somebody giving a fatwa, say, brother, in the time of Rasulullah used to be a mosque in Medina different from the mosque of the Prophet, and the Prophet didn't understand, say, why there is two mosques. These people playing games with Islam, man. Everybody became a sheikh, everybody became a mufti. Even if there is two mosques for convenience, under what leadership? Under two prophets? Under two imams? One telling the people go right, one telling them go left. Let's assume that your fatwa is right. So we have two mosques in Medina, and the Prophet was leading Salah someplace, and as example, Muhammad used to go and pray someplace else. So brother, this mosque is for convenience. What convenience are you talking about? Did Muhammad have his own ideology? Does Muhammad have his own direction? Does Muhammad have his own leadership? Or was under the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam supervision and leadership? You see, I'm telling you, you're letting people operating in you, they never even read a book of medicine. But you allow them to operate in you, this is your problem. They will give you different fatwas. Okay? Umar ibn Khattab, he was a distant from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he used to what? Ta'awun, helping one another. He had a companion, a friend from the Ansar. So the Ansari will go one day to listen to the teaching of the Prophet, the new revelation from the Quran. While Umar doing his business. Now Umar will come the next day and the Ansari stays there, take care of his store. And Umar will go to tell the Ansari the new revelation. While the Ansari will go and tell Umar the new revelation. So with helping one another, they did not have to abandon their jobs or leave their families. So Umar used to come one day and the Ansari comes the other day. And this way, by helping one another, they were able to manage their life and also to stay in touch with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to learn about the new revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't ask about even the prophets. كما قال عيسى بن مريم الحواريين من أنصار الله. عيسى بن مريم, عيسى Jesus son of Mary, he said to the حواريين, his disciples, who among you are my assistants and my helpers towards Allah? We don't need anybody to help us to come and understand to fix my car or try to clean my house because I'm the imam. We tell you to put your hands together to help each other, to make the mission of Islam established. This is what we're asking you. I'm not asking anything personal. Everything we talk about, we want to do it for Allah and for the Muslims. I don't need anything personal. Alright? So Isa himself, the Prophet of Allah, says, Man Ansari ila Allah, was the one who got to help me about the career, the mission of Allah. Look to Musa alayhi salam. قال رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واجعلني وزيرا من اهلي. هارون اخي اشدد به عذري واشركه في امري. كيف موسى؟ Say, oh Allah, make my tongue easy so I can talk to Pharaoh. He sent me to a big mission. Assist me and give me my brother Harun to be assistant for me. For purpose of what? So Allah, we can glorify you more, remember you more. So we need each other to assist each other for the ibadah of Allah. Look the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. Look to everybody need ta'awun, need help in one another, assist in one another. Look to Waqa ibn Awfan. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Khadija took, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell him, tell Waraka what you saw. Told him, I saw this huge thing and he said, oh, this is the angel that came to Moses. By Allah, if I'm still alive until you are a prophet, messenger, I will give you لَأَنْصُرَنَّكَ نَصْرًا عَزِيزًا مُؤَذَّرًا. He's a Christian man. Reading the Bible, he knows. And right away they stated that this is going to be the new prophet. And say, if the time comes and they're still alive, when your people will kick you out of your city, I will give you a hand. I will assist you. Subhanallah. Look what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to make a migration from Mecca to Medina. Look Abu Bakr al-Siddiq assisting him with two camels. Had to be like his bodyguard or his companion. Look to the son of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He carries the news every day between the caves and Mecca what is going on. Look to Ismail radiallahu anhu and Aisha preparing the meal. Look to the whole family involved for the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell me about somewhere in Islam that you is not ta'awun, is not help, is not assistance. Brother, the Imam is there, or the Shura is there, or somebody else will do it. And the final thing is that no one will do it. Not even the Imam. Why? Because like you say, one hand doesn't clap. You could not clap with one hand, but when you put the two hands, you can clap. And say like Brother Uthman taught me something, said, Subaq laghat wajhak. One finger could not cover your face. So if something needed for a huge group of people, one person could not. So you need something bigger than your finger to cover your face. Look at the Qurnayn as for Surah Al-Kahf. Many examples in Quran Sunnah. But look, because the time only, to Imam Al-Hafiz, Zain al-Din Al-Iraqi. He talked about himself to clean up the book of Ihya al-Din for Imam Al-Ghazali. He has a book called Ihya Ulum al-Din, which some scholars call it Imatat al-Din. The book, the name of it, Ihya Ulum al-Din, the revival of the religion of the Deen. So some scholars call this is the book of Tim the Deen. Why? Because a lot of weak hadith and fabricated hadith in this book. So Imam al-Iraqi rahimahullah later on came and took Ihya Ulum al-Din because a beautiful book, but the poison is there, intentionally or unintentionally. And he clarify and remove all this weak hadith and present the book of Ihya Ulum al-Din for Imam al-Ghazali in a different way after he took all these problems about it. See, this is a help. Even the scholars, they need the help of one another. One is specialized in hadith, one is specialized in tajweed. So they are not against these theories, so they're supposed to assist one another. So with this brother, you understand, like I said, I can be going on and on, but I'm worried about your time. And let me now, inshallah, the second khutbah, to tell you what I'm talking about. Because sometimes we believe that 1 + 1 = 2. But the moment you try to apply this to reality, and you tell them 1 orange + 1 orange, they will tell you 3 apples. Why? I don't know. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين. Brothers and sisters in Islam, you are well aware, you who are present here today, and these imams or so-called imams in Columbia, South Carolina, as well as its leaders and head of leaders or organizations, you can call it whatever names, different names, alright, which is not a healthy way, but everybody aware